Oh, you want more?
More.
Oh, this good?
More.
Oh, wow, that was extreme.
More. Edging with Tucker and Maura.
Think about you all the time. I can't get you off my mind. They only knew who I've been talking to. You got a place off the park. I'll come on by after dark. Was nervous then when you let me in. We were hanging out. Cross down parties, oh, just killing time until the main event. And it hurts all throughout my insides. I couldn't stop if I tried loving you.
I like this song from the Arkells.
Sounds good.
So I'll call you.
But it's actually just Arkells and not the Arkells, so I've just lost all credibility.
I didn't know that, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, there's those bands that you just put a "the" in front. A lot of people put the "the" in front of Arkells, but it's just Arkells.
Rolling Stones?
The Rolling Stones.
Tragically Hip?
The Tragically Hip.
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Singing lullabies.
I'm sure they're used to it by now. Opening up the podcast with Arkells because this podcast features an interview with Max and Nick as they were on the verge of releasing their brand new album. Maybe if you're listening to this on September 20th, it's the day before the new album comes out.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you hear this interview, you may hear reference to an event that's taking place in the afternoon on September 20th. Disregard that if it's after September 20th.
Don't show up. Yeah.
Yeah, don't show up. If you're listening to this in November 2024,
mm-hmm.
These podcasts kind of live forever.
They do.
So yeah, there's that to keep in mind. You know, hard to find a nicer group of guys in music. Don't think I've ever had a conversation with Max where he wasn't just lovely.
Yes.
That was my first time meeting Nick.
Mm-hmm.
A really good guy. I didn't say it to them, but it's still, I've never seen them live. And I know I have to get to a show because they are a band where if you like the music and then you go see them play, apparently they just, your love for that band increases times 10.
Yeah.
I've seen them before. I was very impressed. I wasn't like the biggest, I like Arkells music, but I wasn't like a super fan or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Friends had some tickets, brought me to a show. I was blown away with how energetic and entertaining they are. Their stage
where
show.
Where was the show?
The ACC.
Really?
Yeah, Scotiabank Arena?
Yeah.
So big venue.
Yeah, that's what they do now. They do arenas. Certainly in Canada, they've built such a following of fans that they're playing the biggest arenas
mm-hmm.
in the country. And it's in part because of the music and in part because anyone who's been to a show wants to go to another.
Yeah.
And I haven't not gone because I am not interested. It just has never worked out for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
When I have the opportunity to go, I can't go. You know, it's weird because they do play enough that I should have gone to a show by just haven't.
You're the kind of guy that goes to shows by himself, just walks into a show, never heard of the band, and will go and buy a ticket for $40. And
I've done that.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but I am not opposed to it by any means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because I have a venue where I live called the Danforth Music Hall where I can walk to, and I've been out for a walk. There was this one night. I was a bit high. I was a bit drunk. My family was in Montreal for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you were here.
All great stories start like that.
Okay. And I was like craving ice cream. So I just went for a walk to the top of the street Baskin Robbins.
Yeah.
And got like a double scoop waffle cone.
You did?
And then I proceeded to, I was listening to tunes. It was a nice night. It was like really warm Thanksgiving weekend.
This guy walking around with an ice cream
just
cone.
Giving her a big lick, sitting on the side of the street.
Such a cheese ball like story. Right,
loser.
I had been I'd gone sailing all day, and I was just, I was having the best day. Yeah. And so now I'm out, and I got like a perfect buzz going.
Yeah.
And I see, oh, there's a show tonight at the Danforth Music Hall. And I go up to the bouncer, mm-hmm. or whatever, from Dorman. I'm like, hey, they sold out? And they're like, no, I don't think so. So then I go to my Spotify, and I'm like, who's this? And I was like, oh, I know this song. It was Bishop Briggs.
Oh.
Back kind of earlier when, I guess, River, was that the big song?
Yeah.
So they let you in?
So they said the box office may be just closing now. So I went and they're like, yeah, and it was maybe $40.
Have you done that ice cream cone? Because I can't imagine the bouncer would
let you in. They made you throw it out. No cone inside.
No cone. can you picture T-Bird standing there talking to the bouncer holding his ice cream cone?
So
who's the band playing tonight?
The ice cream was done. I was on a date with myself, and it was going very well.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that your IBS would have let you, after having a double scoop waffle cone, let you go stand in a show.
Ice cream's not a problem if it's real ice cream. If it's soft ice cream, I would have not made it through the end of the show. I can't handle that.
Right.
Whatever it is, all that synthetic stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, I went in, and I think she had been on for maybe, she was starting her second song. It was perfect. And then I watched the show. It was a great show. Mm-hmm. Walked on out of there. And then picked up some chicks and had the best night ever.
Oh, there we go.
I just walked home after.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've gone to see Alexis on Fire at the Danforth Music Hall alone.
Yeah.
I kind of knew people that were going to be there and ran into some people. But
I like that idea because then you can leave whenever you want. You can stand wherever you want to stand. I always like leaving a show a little bit early because I don't want to get caught in that door jam.
Who cares? I'd rather just wait a little longer in the venue and then leave a bit later than miss out. Yeah,
Don't want those lights to come on and everyone.
I don't go to a concert to leave early. You know, that's not my intent.
Oh, that's my intent. Yeah. Always got to get out of there.
Yeah, you go to a hockey game. You leave before the third period's over every time.
Well,
like
I like
the
to
Leafs
get to bed.
Game.
You
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's like why even go if you're going to miss what could be the best part of the game? Yeah. First period, I understand not going.
I'm there for the buildup. Okay, I'm there too early. I just peak nice and soon, and then I'm gone.
Yeah.
So. People like somebody who peaks early at a party because you kind of get the energy up and then I leave.
Maura goes
You're
for
welcome.
Ice cream after the concert that she's left early.
That's right. That's right. What kind of flavor did you get, by the way?
What do you think?
You got pralines like maple pralines and cream.
Yeah, of course, always.
Two scoops of pralines and cream?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
What? Wow.
You're not mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, man. I can't believe that didn't make you shit yourself.
Honestly, I told you, real ice cream doesn't make me shit myself. Soft ice cream. I think the last time I was at an event, soft ice cream was a baseball game. It was not good. Stomach starts rumbling, then you know.
Anyone will tell you that who's like works closely with a soft serve machine, they're like loading the bag in there and it doesn't seem right. You know, there's a bag of something and it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's disgusting if you see that machine being reloaded. It's awful.
But when it comes out in that perfect swirl,
it's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
And when
on
you're
the way in, but on the way down.
It does make me thirsty, though. Can you eat soft serve without having to chug like a drink after? It's pretty tough.
It's true. I find that with ice cream, too. You just need to cut the cream. It's heavy.
Yeah. Well, shall we?
Let's get into this.
Okay. Our interview with Max and Nick of The Arkells. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Lights off, yeah. I already love the parts you don't like in yourself. Loving the vibe here. We don't need some fancy hotel. Max and Nick from Arkells are here with us.
Yes, they are.
On the verge of a new album. It's new album Eve for Arkells. It comes out tomorrow.
Are you guys nervous? Or what does it feel like on the eve of a new album?
Good question. We're definitely not nervous because this is going to be our eighth record?
It's been, there's been a bunch. It's not new.
Yeah, but it's still only eight in the course of an entire lifetime. It's not actually a lot.
We've been putting a lot of music though. Like, Blink once came out in September 2021. Blink twice came out in September 22. and now we're in September 23.
Do it while you're in the zone, right?
Well, we're in the zone, but I'll say this record, as you can listen, as you can hear, it's very different from anything else we've ever done.
I saw a post or something that was out, and it's like, oh, if you like, you know, National, you like these bands, you know, you're gonna like this vibe from us. I'm forgetting all the bands that you had.
Yeah,
Avid
Brothers, Wilco, The National. Yeah, you know. We always love singer-songwriter music, and a lot of the songs always start in that form, and then we have a tendency to sort of build them up and add layers and make them into these big grand things, which I love. But for this record, we really want to keep it as raw and as intimate as possible and kind of just like live with happy little accidents, happy little mistakes that happened as we were recording. And we just wanted something that felt super honest and heartfelt. And because of the records, there's a lot of like love songs in there, and they're kind of breakup songs. And we recorded it sort of unknowingly that we were just kind of getting together to jam and hang out. And then we kind of turned around and said, oh my God, it looks like we have an album on our hands. Nice.
I guess the tendency to blow things up and dial everything up to 10 is kind of a product of the live show too, right? Mm-hmm. Not wanting to have a soft seat, you know, theater experience for your fans. You want them to be like up and singing along. And some of the, you know, the more down tempo you get, the more likely someone wants to just be high, sitting in a chair, enjoying the music, you know, like Sunday vibes.
But
almost.
That's okay.
Which is all right. There's nothing wrong with that. I love a good show like that, you know, depending on what you're trying to do.
Well, we saw Arctic Monkeys last week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
And they are so good because they have those, you know, high tempo, like super energetic rock songs. But their last few records especially, like, they have those vibey, more relaxing songs. And it was sweet. Like, it felt great. It didn't feel, you know, bad at all going between them. So
are you worried?
We're taking notes.
Are you worried about how your fans will react? Because you're so known for that big, booming stage show. Did you feel like you had to warn them?
Yeah, this is what, you know.
You know, it's funny. There is a crossover, I think. It's funny, if I go to a show at Budweiser Stage, and I like to go to see lots of different kinds of shows in and around the city, and I think there is a real crossover with, like, the singer-songwriters. Like, we did the Great Cup with the Lumineers, and I think there's a real crossover between Lumineers fans and Arkells fans. And the thing which was actually probably most revealing is we did this record, Campfire Chords, which was just sort of acoustic versions of our bigger songs, and that was back in 2020. And I never really thought of it as a real record. I'm like, oh, it's just sort of like an acoustic version of our bigger songs. And people are like, no, that's my favorite record. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. Oh. And also, you know, I do kind of get envious of the singer-songwriters because they make these records that you just kind of put on while you're drinking your coffee in the morning or at a dinner party or some quiet moment in your life. And I kind of want to be the soundtrack for those moments.
Well, you say that, you bring up the acoustic album and how it's somebody's favorite album. We were looking at the most expensive guitars of all time that have sold at auction. And surprisingly, Nirvana, the unplugged version guitar sold more than the Nevermind guitar. And you're like, geez, that's crazy. Or I wonder if Alice in Chains, if their biggest songs were all from the MTV Unplugged album. I don't know the answer to that, but it definitely, people appreciate that side of things as well.
Absolutely. Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah.
You can pay more attention to the lyrics, I find. Like, I love Nirvana, but it is kind of harder to, like, focus on what Kurt's saying when, you know, they're bashing away.
We were talking about street signs and stuff like that, and I'm sure when you guys were first playing on Arkell, like on the street that you're named after, that who's got this sign? Somebody must have grabbed
one.
Stolen
often. I mean, we've never stolen any.
The sign.
No one has the sign anywhere, like in the band. Not one guy.
We never did, but I know they do get stolen often. We've heard from the city of Hamilton that
so they hate it.
Yeah, it's a real pain. I was wondering, I was like, who lives in that house? Because, Mike and I lived at 85 Arkell. And I'm curious to know. So if you're listening and you know who lives there now, maybe we'll do like a porch concert one of these days.
Yeah, like you haven't just gone by on
a walk?
You've
driven by and stuff. But
you haven't knocked on the door and said, hey, you know, I used to live here.
Yeah. I think it was for sale recently, actually.
I will say those student houses we lived in, they seemed palatial at the time, but when you do go by now, you're like, whoa, there was seven of us in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, those people make a lot of money on those houses. Oh, yeah. You're all paying, you know, thousands a month when you add it all up.
It's cool to hear you guys say that you know, you want to write a record for people just having like a cup of coffee on a Saturday morning. Is this the first time you've ever thought about what people are doing when they're listening to your music?
I think over the years it's kind of come up because people tell us where they listen to the music, right? And like there's some songs like I'm listening to like Knocking at the Door before I go to the gym or something. Or, you know, and that's been cool. There's other moments where it's like, yes.
Or hey, we got that one.
You know, or if they're picketing or something like that. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like they want to get amped up.
If they're like a union workers and they're on strike, and that's always awesome. But then we've also had a bunch of songs that are like people's first dances at their weddings. They're like Quitting You and Then Some and My Heart's Always Yours. Like, we get emails every weekend being like, oh, this is the first dance at my wedding. And that's so cool. So, I don't know, it's something kind of amazing being
you ever shown up at a wedding or anything for a super fan and played a song live or
a couple times. And we do a lot of video shoutouts. Basically the routine is if somebody wants a shout out for their wedding, we make them make a donation to a charity and then
opposed to going through like a Cameo or something like that.
No.
What is the pressure like to interact with fans on social media? If someone slides into Arkell's music on Instagram as a DM, are you guys looking at that? Is that management running it?
No, we're pretty involved in the reaching out and because we like to know who these people are and what we mean to them. But I will say Nick is the best because Nick is the most like humble monk like person that we know. And we just get DMs.
Humble monk.
Nick is a humble monk, and I'll get DMs being like, "Hey, can you please send a thanks to Nick? He paid for our bill at sushi." Or Nick's always picking up people's bills, and he never tells us.
You like to surprise people with stuff like that.
Well, if they say not random people, if like we're out and like someone's like, "Hey, are you from Arkell's or whatever. Yeah. Like, thanks. Once in a while.
And so then
it's a once in a while.
He's like volunteering at like, you know, charities and like food banks and stuff. Like, he's doing all sorts of stuff we don't know about.
That's nice.
Yeah.
He seems to want to shake it off, this conversation. He doesn't want to hear it. What do you do for charity? No. we should talk about the new album's out tomorrow. It's called Laundry Pile with Max and Nick from Arkell's. An event coming up this afternoon starting at 2, although I suspect you should probably get there earlier. Mm-hmm. It involves a laundromat on Ossington. So what is going down here?
All right, it's 180 Ossington. It's just south of Dundas, right on the main strip there. And yeah, we shot our music video, Skin, at this laundromat. And we were thinking, it wouldn't be interesting if we did a release event there, because the album's called Laundry Pile. And we're going to have a laundry basket with 10 t-shirts in it. Each t-shirt will have a different song title. Mm-hmm. And when a new group of 20 people comes in, we're going to take out a t-shirt and we're going to play that song. People can pick up their vinyl and then the next group will come in. One Spin is the name of the event. Because get it?
One song, one totally. Spin, and the spin with the
laundromat.
Laundromat, wink. Spin cycle.
Wink. Yeah. How many dumb agencies in Toronto have come up with ideas 1,000 times worse than that?
Probably a lot.
Weird time to show up at that laundromat just hoping to do laundry later today.
Yeah,
and be like,
yeah.
Oh, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. Do you kick people out or can they finish their loads and folding and stuff? Have you even thought about that?
Yeah, no, there's a sign saying it'll be kind of closed for a private event.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So that starts at 2, but really, you know, if it's 20 times, you say 12 songs, so.
Well, there's 10 songs.
Oh, 10 songs,
But we're going to do it until we're out of vinyl.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever given you guys, like, a piece of advice throughout your career, like a musical legend?
Oh, my God.
too much?
No, I thought you said, I didn't hear you say musical legend. I feel like every fifth person we meet tells Max, like, yo. You should write a song.
Oh, just like somebody who doesn't have a right to give you any advice.
My dog. You should write a song about my dog.
Yeah.
He's really cute.
And have you ever actually, and obviously probably not from just random people, but has someone in your life ever planted a seed that's grown into a song that it was something you didn't even think about? And then you're like,
My dad has good taste in music and he's always sharing songs, like new songs he's listening to. He's not like some old curmudgeon who only listens to stuff from like the 60s and 70s. He's always on to something new. And he was like, Max, I'm really into this South African artist. Oh, I love the rhythm. It makes me go crazy. And he showed me the song. And it was by this artist named Chico from South Africa who had a song called Sikulala Bebe. And then I listened. I was like, this song sounds sick. And so we ended up sampling that for our song Relentless. So if you listen to our song Relentless, like the bass of the track is a Chico song.
So dad.
Dad.
Dad has his way in.
Okay.
Yeah. A friend of mine has a daughter that is at Queens this year. You guys, I guess you played Homecoming. Or not Homecoming, sorry, Frosh Week. Yeah. And it was her birthday, and you picked up her birthday hat out of the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like,
oh, crazy. It,
yeah, crazy. And had, you know, obviously a special moment for her that she'll remember forever. You know, like, how much of that stuff do you try and do when you're doing a live show where you have, like, you know, special interactions with individual? Because I know it's like a show for everybody, but...
No, that's sort of the charm of playing live, is that you get to make these singular moments, you know? And I think that that's, like, so formative, you know? Because Nick and I went to shows, like, when we met at first year university at McMaster, and those shows stick out to us in such a profound way. Like, what are the shows that we went to?
There was a Sam Roberts one. It was there Sum 41.
Yeah, Bedouin Sound Clash.
Yep.
But then we also went to shows at clubs, and, like, you know, we saw, like, Matt Mays and El Torpedo and the Constantines and the Weakerthans and Joel Plaskett and, like, all these. So I think music, when you're especially a young person, that's stuff that really sticks with you, those moments.
Well, new album, Laundry Pile, is out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Show up at the laundromat on Ossington, mm-hmm. just right near Dundas mm-hmm. today. And we got your own private show.
Like unbelievable.
20 people at a time.
Yeah. It's a little and art gallery exhibit.
Get to buy the vinyl. And you know, if you're not listening to it on vinyl, you're missing out.
You're missing out.
We get into this discussion all the time, vinyl versus, you know, compact disc. And I'm not vinyl guy, so I always try it. Like, I always have fun ripping on these two.
You guys
big.
Must have big vinyl collection.
I feel like you and I would be the least vinyl guys in
the band. I just don't like stuff. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I don't like any stuff. I don't like gear. Like, I don't like musical equipment.
Keep it easy,
I
right?
I don't like anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Your phone, like... The fact we can talk about any song and pull it up and listen to it on our phone is amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. Speaking of any song, what's a song you're listening to right now, Max, that you're like, I wish I wrote this, or this is such a cool song?
Oh,
and
there's so many. Nick, do you have something? I kind of want to look at my phone to see what I've been listening to lately. Nick, what do you got?
I've been listening to this artist named Samia.
How do you spell Samia?
S-A-M-I-A.
Okay.
There's a song called Charm You I really like. And Max actually showed me this album, I think it was last year, by this, I think she's Canadian, Georgia Harmer.
Oh, yeah. Sarah Harmer's niece or something?
Oh, yeah. And I've been listening to that a lot because she's playing in Ontario in the next month. So I'm kind of
so this is Samia.
Yeah, yeah. Baby, let me show you the synthetic palm.
Couldn't we believe it was the hand of God? Sounds good.
If this was on vinyl, how long would it have taken you to find that record?
Oh my God. I would have been like, hang on, I'm right back here.
I'm in the S's.
Max?
You know, I'm looking up at your scoreboard here in the studio, and I see a coin. And, you know, so we toured with Coin, and I remember sending Chase, the singer of the band, early demos from Laundry Pile. And specifically the title track, he really helped shape that song just via text. Because so I'd send him kind of updated versions of the mix, and every time he would, every time we added something that we kind of knew in our heart was a little unnecessary, he said, "Oh, that feels like just not as honest as the earlier version."
Wow!
And I thought that was such a profound way to describe music making. Is like, these are really honest songs, just try to keep it as honest as possible.
Is there any particular song from Coin that you would listen to, or is there I could tell you the most streamed song.
What, is it Chapstick?
It's not Chapstick. I'm surprised.
Oh,
it's like
Crash My Car.
No, it's this song by a huge
talk
margin.
Too much.
Too much.
Yeah, that's an early one for them.
Do you guys know what the most streamed song is for you?
Probably, is it Leather Jacket?
Okay, I'm going to guess.
Nice Leather Jacket.
Knocking at the Door.
Okay.
But you don't know. You don't. Like, I would think if I was making music, I'd be all over.
Well, first of all,
that.
There's multiple streaming platforms, but this one right here is the most streamed R. Kelly song. And it's.
There we go.
Are you happy about that? What goes through your mind?
No, it's cool.
Like, they got it wrong. They got it wrong. It has to be, you know.
No, you know what's cool, though, is that when I think about our set list and also even the top streaming songs, it's like it's kind of throughout our entire catalog. I feel really fortunate and grateful for it because sometimes there's a lot of bands maybe have like their one big record.
Yeah, but they spend their whole life writing that record, right? And then they got 2 years to write the next one.
Yeah, and so it's like you know, knocking the doors off Morning Report, Leather Jackets off High Noon, but like Past Life and You Can Get It are from the last two records, and those are like big songs in our set. So the fact that there's and Quitting You, you know, it's like that's from, I don't know, I think Skin's gonna be one that's gonna hang around for a long time. So you kind of just want a couple from every record that you can like play in the set and people will be pumped about.
Yeah, I feel like you figured it out. Like some people kind of get lucky with that first album or whatever brought them to write it, but as you said, you're continually coming out with these songs. So you've obviously built that muscle in your brain that knows how to take what you're thinking and express it in the form of beautiful music. So.
And if you're lucky, it ends up in an Adam Sandler movie. So Past Life was just in an Adam Sandler movie.
Really? Kidding.
Oh, the one, the Bar Mitzvah one?
In the most like pivotal scene in the movie.
Come on!
Yeah. People, I got so many text messages from it. I haven't watched it yet, but
it's also like surprisingly the highest rated Adam Sandler movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Of all
what?
Time.
How is that even possible?
New one. Yeah. I mean, maybe people were harsher back in the day or something.
So does Adam reach out to you guys and say, I'm really
loving
this song?
We met him when they were filming here. His like assistant was a big Arkells fan, and then we got to meet him on set. And he was just everything you'd hope for.
I hear. He's so he's down to earth, and he goes to play like basketball at random courts downtown.
Exactly it. Yeah.
And so was that why they used the song, or was that just coincidental?
You know, like, I feel like it's too much of a coincidence. I think he maybe remembered... and then maybe put the song in. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it came together, but there's definitely like some A to B happening there.
Is he buddies with Will Forte?
Oh yeah, Will Forte's in the Past Life video. Maybe. I don't know.
Your connection to the Raptors got fired. Well, I mean, your connection to the team is you love the team and you love the franchise. But, you know, Nick, you guys had a relationship.
Yeah, I was talking to Nick yesterday. We were doing like an interview for a 76ers website.
Oh, yeah?
We're playing in Philly in a couple weeks. I mean, Nick had an amazing run. And,
and
obviously it's sad to see him go, but... But,
it's the business. It wasn't like he didn't do well in Toronto. He brought a championship here, you know? Like, who does that? And then gets fired. That was crazy. But I guess they just wanted to shake things up.
Yeah, pro sports, man. It's a tough feast.
And what about the Leafs? How are you feeling about the Leafs?
Well, I love the Leafs, but I also love Dubas. And Dubas is going to kick some ass in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's
right, because you guys had a relationship, too.
Yeah.
Like, you connected to all the sports franchises in and around the GTA.
I have to be very careful, though, with my words, because I did a Leafs podcast last week, and they asked me, like, are you going to be cheering for the Penguins? But it's a Leafs podcast, but Dubas is my boy. So I was like, yeah, I'll be cheering them for a bit. And then they posted that thing on Twitter.
Oh,
and then Dubas goes,
gotcha.
Dubas goes, a bit? He texted me.
Oh, not enough for Dubas.
Hey. No. Well, honestly, Dubas should be, if not the president of the Penguins, the prime minister of Canada. That guy, I'd put him in charge of literally anything.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we only see him leaning over the ledge, you know, either happy or frustrated or whatever.
Yeah.
We don't get to know him other than press conferences.
Yeah, and he has to deal with every blowhard hockey fan out there.
Oh, my God.
Has an idea. And
there's no worse city for blowhard hockey fans than, you know, the city of Toronto, Leafs Nation. They're pretty tough. Guys, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
Max,
us.
This is great.
Nick, Arkells.
Yeah.
Laundry Pile out tomorrow, 2 p.m. Laundromat, Ossington, near Dundas.
Yeah.
I already love the parts you don't like in yourself.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. This is a treat.
We don't need some fancy hotel. You're home from the bar. Do you need a friend?
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.